but we certainly need to hear and be admonished with. And the first of them is, number one, is that the devil never gives up on you. In the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, we find the record of Luke when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. And in Luke 4, 13, you notice that at the very conclusion of this time frame, that in Luke 4, 13, that Luke makes this observation. He says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." The devil went away for a while, but the reality is that the devil was going to come back. You see, he is our enemy and he is unrelenting. And we must never underestimate the power of the enemy. The fact is that in athletics, when you go against an opposing team, you never underestimate the power of your opponent. Otherwise, you're probably going to be in trouble. And the reality is that the devil is our enemy, and we must never underestimate his power. There are occasions when we begin to feel rather smug. We think everything is okay. And that's usually when we fall. Because Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, "Let him who thinks that he stand take heed lest he fall." The reality is that the devil wanted Demas, and guess who else he wants? The devil wants you and me. And he would like for us to think that we're rather invincible, that everything is fine. But the fact is that all of us are kind of like Superman. We have our kryptonite. The fact is that every one of us has a point of weakness. And there is one who knows that point of weakness better than anyone else. And that is the enemy devil. He knows your point of weakness. And that's where he's going to attack you. In the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning with verse 10, with regard to the reality of our spiritual warfare, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wile of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You see, the reality is that Satan is the enemy of every believer. He is very well organized. He has principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And not only is he well organized, but he is the one who causes all of the heartache that we find in this world. And we must recognize that without the armor that God has supplied, we are no match for the enemy. He never gives up. In the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul refers to the reality of this spiritual warfare by referring to the conflict between flesh and spirit. He says in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, Galatians 5, 16 and 17, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to another, so that you do not know the things that you wish." The reality is that there is this conflict between, this battle between flesh and spirit, and it rages on. And the devil is like a roaring lion. He is our adversary, Peter says. And he is like a roaring lion seeking the one that he may devour. And he never gives up. We must never feel comfortable, because that's when he's going to exploit you. The devil never gives up. He wants your soul. But there's a second tough truth that we need to recognize. That second tough truth is that not all Christians are going to go to heaven. Not all family members are going to go to heaven. Demas has forsaken me. He has abandoned, Paul said. He has abandoned me. Why? Because he loved the world more than God. Because he has loved this present world. He has forfeited the truth. He has walked away from God. That's a tough truth that I don't like to think about. But it's true. It's reality. The idea of once saved, always saved may be a denominational doctrine, but it is not a Bible doctrine. Time and again we find warning from New Testament writers. For example, look in the book of Hebrews, first of all, in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2 and beginning with verse 1, notice what the Hebrew writer says. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? Be careful, lest you drift away, the writer says. Do not neglect that salvation that God has given you. And in the third chapter of the same book, in Hebrews chapter 3 and beginning with verse 12, Hebrews 3 verse 12, he says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Watch your heart, he says, because in that heart might be a heart of unbelief that would cause you to leave God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In the book of 2 Peter, there is a picture that I don't like to think about. Because unfortunately, I have known brethren in Christ who have walked away from their faith in God. It's an ugly picture. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and the very last few verses of that chapter. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and beginning with verse 19. He says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For of whom a person is overcome by him, he is also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known the commandment to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now that's an ugly picture. That describes the apostate. What a terrible condition to have known the way of God and to walk away from it. That's reality. Do you believe it? Then why don't we not always act like it? Why do we neglect our spiritual life? You ever wondered about the intelligence of Americans? I go down to McDonald's and I get a hot cup of coffee. And on the coffee cup it says, hot. I know why it's there. It's to keep the lawyers off of them. I understand that. But duh. You ever wondered how dumb we are? Do I not understand the dangers of a hot cup of coffee? But the reality is that oftentimes in our spiritual life, are we not equally duped into thinking that there is no danger here? When the reality is that we need the encouragement of the brethren, and we need the encouragement that we receive from God's Word. The fact is that the devil wants your soul. And the fact is that some He'll get because some are going to walk away. Imagine being Demas on the judgment day. And Paul stands up and says, "He was loyal to me until I needed him the most. And when I needed him the most, he walked away because he loved the world more than God." And what if Jesus were to do that to you? What if on the judgment day, Jesus says, "I died for that man or that woman, but in the hour of trial, in the hour of difficulty, in the hour of challenge, when I needed them most, they abandoned me because they loved this world more than they loved me." I remember the words of my grandfather often as he would preach a sermon in the little country churches where he preached. But the words that come to my mind, the words that left an impression upon this young man, are the words that are recorded in Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you." I hope you don't hear those words. "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You see, the reality is, the devil wants us. And the reality is that not all Christians will go to heaven. The reality is that friends and family cannot save you. Well, there are some that will try to salve their conscience, and they'll say, "Well, you know, I circulate with the right people. I have godly parents. I have godly grandparents. I've got a godly brother or sister. Perhaps somehow all the goodness will just kind of rub off, and I'll be righteous too." Wrong. I want you to think about the command, about the companions of Demas. Who could have had better companions than this man? For example, first of all, he was a companion with the Apostle Paul, a man who wrote much of our New Testament, a man who would write great truths such as what is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Or Paul would say in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Demas was with this man. And not only was he a companion of Paul, but there were others that were also his companions. In the book of Philemon, book of Philemon, verses 23 and 24. In Philemon verses 23 and 24, he says, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you." Probably the man that was the one who started the church in Colossae had heard Paul preaching in Ephesus and had traveled to Colossae to share the gospel with that great city. Furthermore, he says, "As do Mark, John Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, the beloved physician, my fellow laborers." Here was a man who was in the great companionship of wonderful, devoted fellow laborers of the gospel. Godly men who were devoted and willing to give their lives in proclamation of the gospel. Here was a man who probably had no greater opportunity than anyone else. And yet he walked away because he loved the world more than he loved God. Oh, but I go to a church that has good elders. I go to a church that has good preaching. The fact is that the spiritual choice is your choice. The character isn't going to rub off. You have to decide to be a person of good character. You have to make the decision yourself that you are going to serve God. No one is going to solve your problems for you but you. And no one is going to make the decision as to whether or not you serve God or not but you. There's not going to be a group judgment when we get up there on the day of judgment. In the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, the prophet Ezekiel, I think, alludes to that very fact. In Ezekiel chapter 18, and beginning with verse 20. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, he says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turn from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all of my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he will live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him, because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord, and that they should not turn away from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abomination that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die." And furthermore, in the same chapter, then he makes this plea beginning in the 30th verse. "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live." But nobody can do that but you. No one, Nancy's dad used to say, can worship God for you but you. That's your choice. Thus, the reality is that there's no happy ending for Demas. Demas awaits the judgment. But he's not the only one. Everyone in this audience today also awaits the judgment. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks plainly about that judgment. And here are some truths to consider from that passage. Number one, that judgment will be universal. Everyone will be there. Number two, our lives will be revealed before this righteous judge. Number three, Jesus Christ is that judge, and he will judge each individual. Will stand before him alone and will be judged according to our deeds and God's standard. God's word will be the standard of whether or not we have done good or evil. No one's going to miss it. But I know this. He's given us one more day to make sure that we're right with him. Where do you stand with him today? If there's anything we can do to help you in making sure that your life is right with God, we would welcome that opportunity. We sing a song of encouragement for that very purpose. Perhaps there's someone here today who would desire to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Whatever your spiritual need, we certainly would welcome an opportunity to assist you in that. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected. Would you come? Your husband.